Thank you. Take your Bibles once again, please, and go to the book of Daniel in chapter 3. The book of Daniel in chapter 3. Did you ever bite off a little more than you could chew? And sometimes I get preparing for a message, and I get excited about it, and I write down all these things, and then I start to preach, and it gets to be 12 o'clock, and I say, well, you know what, am I going to finish this, or am I going to do it tonight? And you're all thankful when I say, I'm going to do it tonight. And, you know, I got a friend in Nova Scotia that he starts preaching usually about 11:30, and he's done by 12:30 or a quarter to one. He preaches an hour and a half. And, I mean, I could do that if you wanted me to. But I find, you know what, I always find it's good to ever leave you wanting just a little bit more. I don't, Laurent, I don't, in restaurants, you know, I always look at the portion. It's always just a little smaller than I want. I always think, not in your place, I'm sure. But I always think, I could eat one more bite of steak. That would be really good. But we began this morning looking at Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to continue on and finish looking at the three Hebrew children, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We still call them children. They're probably in their 40s. We finished up, and if we go to chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 16, and they're answering Nebuchadnezzar after he has told them, we're going to give you a second chance, that we're going to, the music's going to play again, everybody's going to bow, and we're going to give you a second chance. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego say in verse 16, and said it to the king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you as we look at your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of these men in a different land and different culture, but they understood it's important to stand for their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even when they were not comfortable in the culture with the people and all language and all those things. Help us to learn some things tonight that will help us in our life this week as we walk before you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Their answer didn't require a lot of thought or time. Notice how they begin. They say, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not full of care. We don't have to have a committee meeting. We don't have to have a huddle. We don't have to go off and say, you know what, now let us pray about this for 3 weeks or 6 weeks or a month, and then we'll come back with our answer. Why? Because they had already answered in their heart and their mind that they were not going to worship the Babylonian gods. That they were only going to worship the Jehovah God of Israel. And it didn't matter what the king said. It didn't matter what everybody else around them did. Remember, there were other Hebrew children that were transported to Babylon along with Daniel and these three. And we don't see them taking a stand. We only see these three. We talked this morning about Daniel and why he wasn't there, but we won't go into that tonight. But they said, we're not careful. So we don't have a long time to think about this and pray about this. You know, there are some things that are absolutely right and absolutely wrong. And we don't have to take a long time to discuss it. We don't have to have a meeting. We don't. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And they said, you know what? We don't have to give a lot of thought. Our God is able. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. There's a chorus we sing, he's able to deliver thee. He's able, he's able, I know he's able. I try not to sing in the pulpit because it's not very pretty. But they're going, he's able to deliver thee. You know, they said, our God is able. There was no question about that in their mind. They'd seen God do some great things in their lives and said, our God is able to deliver us out of the furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, O king. They said, you know what? Either way, king, and I'm sure they were courteous about this is out of your hands. If you decide to put us in the furnace, he's able to deliver us out of the furnace and out of your hand. You won't have a say in what happens. But then, of course, look at verse 18. But if not. And that's a little transition there. But if not. If God chooses not to deliver us. If God chooses that we will die in that burning fiery furnace, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. But if not. All around this world, there have been missionaries who've gone to the foreign field, and this "but if not" has been a reality in their life. Maybe remember the story of Nate Saint and the Nauk Indians. They went to try to make contact with a primitive tribe. They thought they had made contact. They thought they had made friends with them. They thought that through the gifts they had given and seeing the airplane fly over numbers of times, they thought they would have a good reception. But we know they didn't. We know that Nate Saint, others died that day on that sandbar in that river. But if not. But we also know that because of their sacrifice, in the years to come, most of the individuals in that tribe, the Aka Indians, were saved. One of the very men who was throwing spears that day baptized Nate Saint's daughter. But if not. You know, we always look and we say, the Lord is only working if He is miraculous and delivers us out of these circumstances. But the Lord was working with Nate Saint and the Aka Indians as He allowed them to lay down their lives, that the Aka Indians might receive the gospel. But if not. Said, it doesn't matter. We're not going to worship the gods. We're not going to serve the gods, nor worship your image. That has already been decided. And then we see, as we come to verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar is a changed man, but not for the better. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake in the command they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Nebuchadnezzar, it says, was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. In verse 13 it says he had rage and fury, but here we see it's taken to another level. He was unhappy with them, and he thought, back in verse 13, and he thought, if I explain that clearly to them, they're surely going to comply. I'm not going to get embarrassed in front of all these other people. Everybody, we'll go on with our grand day. But they said, King, it doesn't matter what happens. We're not going to worship the image. We're not going to worship your gods. He was full of fury. Why was Nebuchadnezzar angry? His show wasn't working out the way he planned. Do we get angry when things don't work out the way we planned? We have a lot of plans. And sometimes it's... Do you believe God's in control of everything? I do. I believe that, you know, there's no accidents with God. When we were traveling back, coming down from Goose Bay down to Port Hope Simpson, our plans were interrupted with a flat tire and a broken axle on our trailer. Now, I wasn't, full of fury and the form of my visage changed. Was I? But I wasn't real happy because my plans got interrupted. I wasn't real happy because I had planned to be to the hotel by the ferry by 6 o'clock or so that night, so I could get a good night's sleep, so we could drive the next day. My plans were interrupted. Now, I don't know all of the reasons why our plans were interrupted. I know we had a chance to talk to some people, and I had a chance to hand some individuals some of these hope cards and tell them if they're ever in St. John's and they could get in touch. I had a chance to talk to a couple that came through. But our plans were interrupted. But Nebuchadnezzar was unhappy because things weren't working out the way he planned. Also, he was unhappy because these three he had promoted had turned against him. Remember when, after the vision of the image, he promoted Daniel as head like prime minister over the empire, and these three were given positions of responsibility over the province of Babylon, and I'm sure he took some heat from the other, the magicians and astrologers, other government officials, that you're promoting these Hebrews over us. But he thought it was a good plan. But now these that he had promoted had turned against him, and they challenged his authority. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer this. We're not going to bow. And you can put us in the furnace if you want, but that's not going to change our plan. Nebuchadnezzar, we call this losing your temper. Did you ever watch someone lose their temper? If it wasn't so sad, sometimes it would be comical. Because you watch them, and you know the cartoons sometimes where you see where the steam comes out of their ears? You look at them and you swear there's steam coming out of their ears. You just can't see it. They become so angry. Their face becomes red. Their countenance changes. And because what's happening? What's happening is our emotions are taking over completely from our will and from our reason. And we say things and do things and make decisions that are very, very wrong when we lose our temper. Besides what it costs. But he lost his temper. You know, that's losing your temper is, it goes back to dealing with metal. We know metal is tempered to make it so it doesn't bend. Leaf springs on a car are tempered metal. You take a drill and try to drill through a leaf spring, it's too hard. It'll ruin the drill before you drill through it. It's tempered. But you can take that same leaf spring, you put it in the heat, you get it hot enough, and you can go like that with a piece of metal a quarter of an inch thick. You've taken the temper out of it, and it's moldable and shapeable to most any shape you want to make. And that's what happens to us when we lose our temper. That things become overheated, if you will, and we come to the place where we allow emotion to overrule reason, and we get bent to whatever the circumstances are at the time. That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So he, in the midst of this, he makes a decision. He says, we're going to heat this furnace up to 7 times. In verse 19, therefore spake he and commanded they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, we find a test of hope. He takes the furnace. And this furnace, as I said, was used to refine metals. And he said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to put so much combustible material in this furnace, it's going to become so hot that it will not only refine metals, but it's just become hot beyond reason. Now, was there any good reason? Even if he was justified in putting these 3 Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace, was there a good reason to heat it 7 times hotter than it was normally heated? No, he was just angry and lashing out. He said, we'll show them. We'll heat it 7 times hotter. I mean, like 7 times deader? I don't think so. I mean, if you're dead, you're dead. But he just lashed out and had to do something. He was hurt. He was angry. I was talking to someone the other day, and when I was a kid only, I guess 17, 18 years old, I ran over the neighbor's dog. I was driving down the road, and there were 2 dogs, a German Shepherd and one of these little wiener dogs, a dachshund dog. And they were right there. I had a choice. I could run into a German Shepherd, or I could try to straddle the little wiener dog. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll straddle the wiener dog. And the cars, of course, were a lot higher than they were now. And so I missed the German Shepherd. I stopped. The dog, the wiener dog, was still underneath the car. I knew the dog. It was a neighbor's dog. I petted the dog. But you know what? That dog was hurt. It wasn't hurt terribly. Nothing broke. Just skinned up and a little angry at me, I'm sure. And so I'm laying in the middle of the road going to rescue the dog from under the car. I reached underneath to take hold of the dog to pull the dog out from under the car. And guess what the dog tried to do? Bite me. The dog didn't lick my hand and say, "Oh, thank you, sir, for rescuing me." The dog was hurt. It lashed out. It tried to do damage to someone just because it was hurt. We do the same thing sometimes, don't we? We get hurt, and so our first inclination is to lash out and to hurt someone else. That's what Nebuchadnezzar's doing. He says, "I'm going to hurt these men. I'm going to hit the furnace 7 times. And he says, we're going to tie them up, leave their clothes on, and take them, bind them up with their clothes on, put ropes around them, tie their hands, tie their feet, tie them all together. And now think about this timeline now. Sometimes we don't think about this. The furnace is already burning. I think he added that as a visual example. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't bow down. And so now he says, we're going to heat it 7 times hotter than it normally is. Tie them up. But what do they got to do? They got to wait now while the furnace gets hot. I think he was kind of hoping that while the furnace was getting hotter and hotter, they were seeing the smoke and the flames come out of the stack of that furnace. I think he was kind of hoping that while the furnace got hotter and hotter and hotter, they realized they would say, you know what? This probably isn't a good plan. I think we'll go ahead and tell the king. Say, king, king. They couldn't hold their hand up. It was tied down like this. King, king. It looks pretty hot over there. We changed our minds. But they didn't do that. I don't know how long it took. An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to heat the furnace. They got the furnace hot. And of course, everybody, the thousands assembled there on the plain of Dura are watching all this. What's going to happen? The furnace is getting hotter. Then look down at verse 23. Well, it's 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The heat was so hot, the stack of the top of the chimney, that the men who brought them up there, they died. And these three men, verse 23, Shadrach, Meshach, fell down bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. There was no waiting now. They were going to see in seconds what God's choice was. But I believe that these men, from their statements, were okay with whatever God's choice was. I want you to think about this. The fire that was to destroy them burned the ropes off them. That which they thought was going to destroy them loosed them. Often we think that people think the attacks they make at us as Christians, the accusations sometimes they make, are going to hurt us and destroy us. But you know what? If we trust the Lord in the midst of those things, the things that are hurled against us, those accusations, only make us stronger. Because we learn to trust in the Lord when the difficult times come. We turn to trust in the Lord when the problems come. Look at verse 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto him, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." They weren't hurt. Those that threw them in died. But they weren't hurt. They were joined by the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw them fall in the fiery furnace. He saw the men that took them up, probably 3 or 6 men that took them up to the top there where the stack was, and threw them down through the stack, down into the furnace. And he could see them through the door of the furnace where they would take the metals out. He could see in there. He saw them fall into the flames. And then he saw not men writhing and angry or dying in the flames, but he saw four men walking in the midst of the flames. And he says, the fourth is like the Son of God. Did any of you ever read that old poem, Footprints? It's an incredible thought. The general thought is, man gets to heaven, he looks back over his life. And it's like he's walking on the sand of the beach, and he sees him walking along, and at times that he's walking, he can see the footprints of his Savior beside him. And sometimes he sees there's only one set of footprints. And he talks to the Lord and says, "Lord, you know, I was looking at this, and I see during the hardest times I had, there was only one set of footprints. And the easy time you were walking, but the Lord says, well, that's because I was carrying you those times." You see, Paul said when he was in jail in Jerusalem before he was taken down to Caesarea and then on to Rome, and it says in Acts 23, verse 11, Luke records, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him." The Lord stood by him. You see, there is no time in our life when the Lord is not standing by us. Sometimes I'm afraid in the good times, we don't acknowledge that like we should. And sometimes when we run to difficult times, we're so focused on our own selves and the difficulties that we don't acknowledge that, like the poem said, that the Lord's carrying us, that we don't even have strength to carry ourselves through. The Lord's carrying us through these difficulties. It's like David said in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He sees three men unaffected by the fire. Now Nebuchadnezzar has a choice. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe these circumstances now are circumstances, I said this morning, that God has allowed to come in the life of these three Hebrew children to bring Nebuchadnezzar to the place where he trusts Jesus Christ as a Savior. It's part of his road. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get saved the first time he heard about Jesus Christ and about the Jehovah God of Israel. By the way, most times folks don't get saved the first time they hear about it. It's the unusual, it's the exception rather than the rule. But Nebuchadnezzar changes again. Look at verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire." You see, it's interesting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not obey the king when he said, "When you hear the music, bow down and worship." But the king's command, when the king commanded something that was right to do, he said, "Okay, boys, come on out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out." They said, "Okay, we can obey that command. We can do that." You know, we have to have the wisdom of Peter and the early apostles when it comes to dealing with government in these days. You know, there's an act, a proposal in Parliament now. Right now, it's illegal in Canada. It's a criminal act in Canada to disrupt a religious service. It's a criminal act. It's a criminal act to interfere with a pastor going about his religious duties. The liberals are trying to take that section out of the criminal code. And I don't know why. I'm not sure the motivation behind it, but they're trying to. I've seen the copy of the act that's before Congress, part of an omnibus bill. You know, they throw everything in a bucket but, you know, we have to understand that there are days we have to decide what can we obey God, what can we obey government in doing, and what can we say we ought to obey God rather than man. It takes wisdom sometimes to make that differential. It takes wisdom to make that choice. There are things that we ought to obey the government. When it comes to fire and safety and building codes, we ought to obey the government. We're going to have fire drills in our academy. The government comes, the health inspectors come, and we ought to do that. It's the right thing to do. But we met two years ago, a little more than that, with the Deputy Minister of Education, and Mr. Bunnell and Mr. Pickett and I were there. And we talked to the Deputy Minister of Education, and I talked to her and I said, "I want you to understand that we are not using provincial curriculum in our Christian school. And she started, and I said, no, you understand, you have a secular worldview and we have a Christian worldview. We're not going to teach our students a secular worldview. We went round and round about that for a little bit because she didn't understand the difference. And I wasn't trying to educate her. And finally she said, we're not going to force you to use it. And I said, that's all I want to hear. But understand that I don't care. We get our teachers' licenses every year from the government to teach. And I don't have a problem with that. They want to know who's teaching, what their credentials are. We aren't asking their permission. We're just telling them who's teaching. But we have to draw the line someplace in our private lives. We have to look, and the government has good reason to have traffic rules and regulations. I understand that. And we should obey them. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if you're telling me to disobey the word of God, then I have to disobey you. But if you're asking me a simple request, like come out of the furnace, I can obey. Look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Verse 29, his decree. I therefore make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against, notice what he says here, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He still is not accepting Jehovah God as his God. But he sees this is an all-powerful God. This God has the ability to overrule the edict of the emperor. This God has the power to overrule the idols and the idolatrous worship of Babylon. Shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Notice he doesn't say there is no other God. Notice he says this is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The king's decree. We'll see later on, and Lord willing, in the weeks to come, we're going to continue to look at the account. And Nebuchadnezzar, as Nebuchadnezzar gets to the place where he's willing to trust Christ as his Savior, and I believe he does come to that place after 7 years of trial in his life, but not this time. At this time, he's willing to recognize that God is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that their God can do things that their idolatrous gods cannot do, but he's not willing to disavow the idolatrous gods and set them all aside. Let's give you some concluding thoughts. The first thought is, past acceptance does not guarantee continued support. You see, in the beginning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the golden boys, they and Daniel, because Daniel had interpreted the dream. And so they were accepted. And they weren't, they said, okay, you don't have to eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine, and we're going to promote you. But once they crossed the king in this matter of worshiping the image, things changed. The second thought, stand firm on your convictions. But make sure they're convictions and not preferences. Because there is a difference. There are a lot of things I prefer. Some things I have conviction about. And they say a conviction is something you're willing to die for. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a conviction about bowing to the image. Third, don't take an opinion poll to see what you should do. The majority is usually wrong. You know, if they take an opinion poll of all the Hebrew children that were transported out of Israel and brought to Babylon, there was enough, we don't know how many there were, but there obviously were more than four. There probably were 30 or 40. If they take an opinion poll, if they get together, let's vote and see how we're going to deal with this, their position would have lost. But it was the right position. Notice that they were promoted. We don't hear anything about the others. Don't take an opinion poll. The majority is usually wrong. Don't be a Nebuchadnezzar. Don't allow circumstances to make you lose control. Don't allow when things go wrong and somebody confronts you or somebody challenges you, don't lose control. Sometimes we have to pause in the midst of things and ask the Holy Spirit of God for wisdom and control in the midst of things, because we can feel our flesh just rearing up just a little bit and wanting to respond in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord. God is always with you. God is with the three Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace. God was with Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel, even though the majority stood against him. God was with David as he was being chased by Saul across the hills of Judea. God was with Paul, as he was in jail in Jerusalem, waiting to be tried to Caesarea, taken to Caesarea. That which others believe will destroy you can strengthen you. That which others believe destroy you can strengthen you. You see, we have to understand that, you know, take our hands. My hands, I'm getting a little disappointed in them. They're not near as calloused as they used to be. Getting soft in my old age. But, you know, if I do something over and over with my hands will begin to develop calluses on the palm of my hands, on the pads of my fingers here. They begin to develop calluses. They've been offended by the work that's being done. And as they're offended, then the work doesn't cause death. I remember when I was a young fellow baling hay in the summer, and we didn't have these big bales of hay. Now we have these little bales like this, and they weigh all 50, 70 pounds a piece, and they had string on them. You had to carry them by the string. And the first couple days that you would work, I mean, I'd come home and I'd have blisters on my hands, and they're leaking and they're bleeding. And you know what? But 2 weeks in, I didn't have to worry about wearing gloves anymore. My hands had calloused enough that offense didn't affect them anymore. Now, that doesn't mean we become hardened people. We understand that. We need to be soft and responsive. But the strings didn't injure my hand anymore. Why? I developed a defense mechanism in my hands. You see, God can give us the ability, when others do things to hurt us, to build up a defense. A defense of the Holy Spirit of God as He works in our hearts and protects us and helps us to respond properly. Last thought. Even the hardest hearts can be turned by seeing a faithful Christian. Even the hardest hearts can be turned by seeing a faithful Christian. And we'll see that in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was arrogant. Nebuchadnezzar was always right. Nebuchadnezzar thought that he should be exalted above everything else. Everybody should bow down and worship the image of him. But we find as we look, and we'll begin to look at this next Sunday morning, God brings him to a place where he's humbled. And I'm sure in this time, as he's humbled, his mind goes back to the events and these three Hebrew children. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you would use it for your honor and glory. Lord, we all are going to face circumstances in this next week that probably fit someplace in this message we've heard tonight. Help us, Lord, to respond properly. Help us not to become angry and lose our temper. Help us understand that you're using our circumstances to be a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those even who are maybe now even antagonistic toward us. Lord, we pray that you should help us to dare to stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in difficult times. Because, Lord, we know you want to use our testimony that others might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing a bit of a different song, 676 in your hymn books. 676, the banner of the cross. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. I wonder when we go out these doors for the next 168 hours, what banner will we fly over our life? The banner of the cross is a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. Stand up with me, please, as we sing 676, The Banner of the Cross.